A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Two big NXT title changes. I'm Ollie Davis. This is El Fakeador Laurie Blake. Welcome to the Wrestle Ramble NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 review. It's that the best time of these kind of big five weekends where we're talking about NXT before everything is crushed by the 6 to 22 hours of the bigger main roster pay-per-view tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life watching SummerSlam.
Yeah,
Balor versus Corbin again.
Yep.
Oh, you're just drooling at the mouth for that, and you're just throughing.
Is that the one you're really, really least excited for?
I think so at the moment. Mm. Yeah. Or what's your least exciting match from SummerSlam? Before we get into what's actually great, what's the worst thing you can think is going to happen this weekend?
I would say, yeah, Corbin versus Balor is the most mundane. Mm. It's the most raw weekly match that's on the main card.
Oh yeah,
doesn't even have a stipulation. Did they have one in Extreme Rules?
A stipulation?
Yeah. I can't,
was it not an Extreme? No, it wasn't an Extreme Rules match. No, it's just
yeah, because most of those matches were just normal rules at Extreme Rules, or just like Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Lesnar beats Reigns, but they keep on carrying everything on, and there's no intriguing angle. That would be the worst outcome, I think. But that's for tomorrow.
That's not this.
That sort of cynicism is a Monday morning thing. Right now, it is that Sunday morning celebratory feeling. Because what a goddamn show.
My God. It was amazing.
Yeah. Two title changes. A big debut in the form of Matt Riddle in the crowd. And just excellent, excellent wrestling and storytelling. Storytelling for me, more importantly. I thought the main event was superb. But let's kick off with the title changes. Our first one being Ricochet and Adam Cole for the NXT North American Championship. Yeah, sorry, I didn't say Adam Cole's full name. But yeah, you had Ricochet down as winning this.
I called it. I thought it was his time. I genuinely think Adam Cole is going to go up the card.
Mm.
And I think he's going
to up the card or up to the main roster?
I don't think main roster. I think they're going to keep Undisputed Era around for like another year, maybe, or 6 months at least. Probably till WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think he's going to go up.
Just wait till they've got nothing for them.
Yeah, I think he's NXT champion material. And like, yeah. I think he should be in that picture. And it's the perfect time to move him up and have Ricochet be the mid-card champion for a bit. And then maybe we could have a run back of this. If Cole eventually wins the NXT title, then you can have Ricochet and him feud for it, which would be amazing because they've just proven it with this stonker of a match.
Yeah, so this was, I guess, the story goes back to WrestleMania weekend, Ricochet's first match in the company, a 5-star rated match, according to Meltzer. It was that ladder match for the inaugural North American champion, which Adam Cole won. But Ricochet wasn't beaten, he was technically, but it's not like there was a pin over him.
We tipped him off, didn't he? And then went up himself.
Of course.
So Ricochet was within arm's length of winning the title. And then, I think Cole dumped him off and then that's when he won.
And then in the following takeover, Ricochet overcame Velveteen Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got this Ricochet-Adam Cole match. So I guess like 3-4 months for a title run for Adam Cole. But yeah, he's the sort of guy that doesn't need the belt. I think Ricochet really needed the win here.
Yeah, Ricochet, I think, because Cole's got a storyline, whatever happens, the era has the titles.
Yeah.
He can just become part of the tag team in that sense as well. Like, you know, they can carry on just doing the Freebird rules and jumping in and out. But I just think, Ricochet definitely needed the win here because his star is on the rise and it needs to have these little peaks. And that's, I think the North American title was almost created especially for him in that sense, I think.
Yeah, it was around the time him and EC3 came into the company.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Poor old EC3.
So the two... come on to poor EC3.
We'll come back to that.
The poorest man in the 1%.
Yeah.
So there's two directions Cole could go in after here. You set up the card.
Yeah.
But there's... Usually you get a few NXT call-ups on the Raw or SmackDown after SummerSlam.
Well, I guess he could be called up. And then maybe he starts a different faction of the era on
Raw or SmackDown.
I don't
think
that, I wouldn't want to see that, no. I would love to see them all go up together. But hopefully a little bit of time has passed. We've got past whatever they're doing with Sanity and the last set of Authors of Pain, all these other call-ups they've had recently that are factions and tag teams that they have just gone, oh no, I didn't know what to do with that. Oh,
damn it,
I dropped it.
I've dropped Authors of Pain all over the floor.
Where is it?
Have you got a Nikki Cross? I think it rolled under the counter. Oh, well, let's leave it there. So Adam Cole, this was after a year ago is when he debuted in NXT. And here he is losing the title, but that does not hurt him whatsoever because the story was so well laid out for me. It's what Chris Jericho always used to say about when he first learned to cut wrestling promos. Mm. You don't call the other guy rubbish, because if you beat him, then it's not much of a challenge.
No.
And if you lose, then you got beaten by a rubbish guy. What the best way to do it is you call the guy out for being really, really good, but I'm better. And that's what this was based around.
Yes, yeah.
Cole said, "There are good, there are great, and there are special. And Ricochet, you're just great, but I'm special." Like, what a great way to keep everyone at a certain level.
Yes, yeah.
Because it doesn't make Cole look great. It just makes both guys look special at the end of it.
Mm.
And that's the story they told, where they kind of try and outdo each other with chain wrestling at the start, but which Cole gets the better of, I would say.
Mm.
But then Ricochet started to come back with the reversals, and then the final third of the match was just these extraordinary counters. Do you want to say the best one?
My best one. I think my best one was the moonsault.
Yes,
the moonsault super kick. So yeah, I was wondering if there were so many other ones that it could be, but that moonsault super kick was
sublime.
He clocks him. Just it can't not hurt. You look at that. You're like, that has to be. It was pitch perfect. It was so good.
The timing was immaculate. So it's Ricochet, and what made it so good is the spot before it. So Ricochet jumps off the, does sort of a handspring off the top rope in, and Cole goes to hit him with a kick, but Ricochet lands and holds the kick, and everyone's like, "Ooh, Ricochet's got you scouted." So Ricochet turns round, goes for the second rope moonsault like a lion salt in, and that's when Cole hits him with a super kick right on the neck. They show a replay in slow motion of it, and I thought, well, there's surely a big leg slap here that I'm going to see. No.
Well, if you're watching the rotation of Ricochet in the slow motion, he's like doing this beautiful, like the height and the control that he has, and how slow he can go through a moonsault and make it look just beautiful.
Mm.
When he gets hit, he goes, he probably speeds up, and it's like, oh no, you just got turned.
Mauro Ranallo has a great call, and it's after this bit where, I mean, I've written down the sequence as best I can here. Adam Cole's down near the corner. Ricochet goes for a second rope moonsault, but Cole rolls out the way. So Ricochet, without missing a beat, does a shooting star standing straight onto Cole, rolls through over to the turnbuckle, hops up onto the second rope, Phoenix Splash. And that's just like a seamless one move.
Yeah.
And Mauro Ranallo says he's a human cheat code.
Yeah.
And then I don't think Nigel picked up on that, because then he said it's like watching a video game. And Mauro said, well, that's why I said it was a cheat code thing. That was a bit of awkwardness.
Bit of tension.
But yeah, Ricochet wins. A great match and a great title change.
Yeah, I've said it in my review, I love the fact that this wasn't like, we've seen Cole be various kinds of heel, I think. Mm. He's wavered about a bit. So when he first debuts, he was the sort of chancer, snivelling heel, run away quite often, you know, like always trying to get the advantage. And he has, in the previous bits of this feud, got the man advantage and said, I'm not a coward. You know, when they laid him out and there's all four of the Undisputed Era standing over him, clutching all their different titles and going, well, you know, we're not cowards. And this match was him actually just going, oh no, I'm a really good wrestler too, and I don't need to cheat. There was no cheating at all. There was just cunning, like there was the use of cunning
but nothing like actually being like, oh, I'm actually going to outright try to cheat to beat you. I'm just going to just prove that I'm better than you because I've got a higher ring IQ, which is so cool.
Yeah, they kept putting that over on commentary as well, just talking about the ring intelligence. And that's what makes Cole such a good heel, because you watch him in a match like this and you're like, well, you don't have to cheat.
No.
So you just cheat because you're looking for the easy way out. I mean, like, obviously he didn't cheat here and he lost, but to me that was only on this day. You know, they had a match later on and Adam Cole wins,
you might have won, yeah.
Yeah, that's like a perfect feud to get both guys over rather than squashing someone out. The finish was spectacular as well, which was Ricochet. But Cole moves out of the way, off this reverse hurricanrana.
So Ricochet, Cole goes for the last shot.
Yeah.
From behind. So Ricochet's dazed in the middle of the ring and Cole is setting up for the last shot. And they've got a brilliant setup shot where you can see Ricochet and you've got Cole slightly out of focus in the background. He runs in, goes for the kick. Ricochet ducks, stands up immediately off the duck and then lands a reverse Rana.
Playing possum.
Sitting Cole perfectly placed for the 630. Ricochet goes up to the top. Cole rolls all the way across the ring and out onto the apron. Sorry. Ricochet comes down looking a bit dazed. Cole is smiling, smirking to himself on the apron and starts rolling back, gets into the corner and gets himself up. Ricochet just jogs up and then jumps the top rope like it's nothing. And then hurricanrana to the outside.
So I've never seen that spot. A jumping over the top rope, no turnbuckle involved, hurricanrana off the apron to the outside. I mean, I'm sure he's done it loads on the indies, but I thought that was amazing. Quickly rolls him in, hits the 630 for the win. You're right, like all the Undisputed Era have that ability to, that was clever of me, smug face.
Yeah, yeah.
And then immediate receipt.
Yeah.
They're quite humble in that way. Like Kyle O'Reilly's really good at it.
Oh,
Roderick Strong's good at it. Like, we've got away with that one. Oh no, now I'm being hit in the face. So that was, I thought that was a phenomenal match. You said no star ratings for you. You don't want to get involved in that debate.
But go on, what are yours then?
Well, I've got the douchebag rating scale for me.
Okay.
I get that 4.75. I thought it was an excellent match.
Mm.
Really, really good. And just from the storytelling of that, there's not much like a storyline going in. It's just who's better.
Yeah.
And I thought that was told really dynamically.
Well, because there was the thing about the Dream feud was that was all storyline and that was all two show-offs having a show-off match. This felt like it was just played so well because actually Cole was attempting to not let anyone show off. He just wanted, ideally, he wanted to wrist lock his way to victory and then he had to sort of step it up and be a bit more, yeah. I don't know, it was so good.
Yeah, very good. As was, like, all the matches were of a very high standard on this show. Kairi Sane beating Shayna Baszler to become the new NXT Women's Champion.
Absolutely love this match.
Which
so
you didn't call correctly. Luke had Sane.
Did
he went for Baszler.
Right, fair
I've got
enough.
It down here in my prediction
okay,
notes.
Okay, fine, yeah.
Yeah, it's down here, that's historic.
Yeah, I did go for Baszler, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought Baszler would hold on. She was just coming into her element as champion, I thought. And like, I think this match proved it even more, though. Like, she's got so good at promos, her in-ring stuff has become really great. I think like the way she limb targets in matches is terrifying. I think all the stomps and all these, like, in this match as well, like the heel hook she lays in, she does
it. Makes
a,
you wince,
she does
doesn't
this,
it?
She does this horrible, sets the ankle up and just steps on it and it just folds down. But that's such a simple thing to do, because she did the same thing with Dakota Kai and the arm. And it's the same, like, you know, you just tap the top and you can just flop it down. And it, you know, but it looks unbelievably brutal. And I just think I love that sort of mean streak of her character where she's just like, no, I'm just going to dismantle you now. And I thought what was so good about this was that I wasn't expecting Sane to step up to the level that she did. Like, this felt like Bayley when she had to be kendo sticky and she was like, oh no, I can't do it. Because Kairi Sane,
what, with the Bliss match?
Yeah, because Kairi,
that is a terrible comparison.
I know it's a terrible comparison, but I feel like, because Kairi Sane,
it feels like that all-time classic
no,
match.
No, 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 it doesn't. No, I'm saying it felt like it could have been, because Sane's character is so bubbly and goofy, like, and it's all anime style hand gestures and lots of, she's just got all these little things that she does when she comes to the ring, and it goes, because her intro goes on for so long, she's just doing all this like
Like, it's just
for podcast listeners. Yeah, just, I've done some wonderful doing anime poses.
I've done some wonderful anime poses. But yeah, I wasn't expecting her to suddenly just step up this gear, and then it's such good storytelling because she's trying to prove all Baze has been doing is like, you don't have killer instincts, you don't have the intensity, you can't beat me. And then Sane comes out and she's locking in all these submissions early on. She's hitting multiple insane elbows.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to show the fact that she, you know, she's like, I'm going to break you.
Hmm.
It was such a good match.
It's weird. A lot of people have said, I think this is probably the most divisive match on the card from what I've read of other people's reactions. Because I think everyone agrees that the tag match, the main event, the North American match, all excellent. I think everyone agrees that EC3 and Velveteen Dream was a bit sloppy.
Yes.
But this match, I think you've got a lot of people who are like, I really enjoyed that. But then you've got your mentality as well, which is, I love that. So I'm actually,
I think it's my match of the night.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting because I won't take that away from you. But I,
you can't. It's my opinion. You literally can't take my opinion from me.
You're saying I can't do it. I want to. But I really enjoyed this match, but it didn't blow me away like it did for other people. I mean, you can see the amount of notes I've got here compared to the other matches. I really like the way Shayna Baszler wrestles because she's so different compared to everyone else. She feels like she's not pro wrestling. She feels like she's just hurting people, which I really enjoy to watch. However, I think the unfortunate flip side of that is by having such a dominant style in the ring is that everyone else has to play your game. And as much as I love Baszler, Baszler as champion, I feel has somewhat stifled the women's division in NXT. As opposed to like... And that, like, you could say the same thing about Asuka when she was on top forever. But yes, I never got bored of Asuka matches.
See, I got bored
I loved the Ember Moon feud.
I got bored of Asuka matches. Because they started having to think of more and more... Like, she was doing heel bits for a while where she was basically
she's
cheating.
She's like big money Asuka.
She was basically cheating to win. You're like, okay, well... You know, I don't... Yeah, I feel like... I get that sort of criticism of it, but I feel like it worked in this match because actually that was the point of this feud, was that she said, you're not on my level, you're not as intense as I am, you don't have the killer instinct, and then Sane comes out and proves it, but using all of her own moves and using her own style, but she just does it really, really intensely. There were so many cool bits. There was I love all the limb work, as I've said before. There was a great stun gun sort of slingshot thing that Baszler did with Sane's legs through the ropes. There was the anchor being locked in through the ropes.
The anchor's a great looking move. We were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, it's a wonderful looking move. But then also, she does it through, like, she gets the five count when Baszler breaks it, but then she locks it in through the ropes for five just to be like, just proving that I'm going to do anything here.
And that's great because, like you said, she's so over the top anime style, but when the match gets going, she turns into a legit threat.
Yes, yeah.
So that's great that she can.
Well, then the finish I thought was great. Yeah. Like, she goes for the elbow. You know, this is the selling the kind of idea that she's. It's a similar thing to they're doing with Gargano and Ciampa, like selling the idea that, you know, maybe the babyface pushes it too far, trying to match the heel. And it looked like that was what's about to happen here. She goes for the insane elbow and Baszler gets her knees up and counters. So Sane sort of rolls off and then Baszler pops back up and goes to lock in the Kira Fuda clutch. But Sane rolls, has it scouted and rolls back through and gets a three count.
Yeah, pinning Shayna's shoulders to the mat.
It's just so well done. Because obviously, like, Sane...
It was a great finish.
More than anyone, Sane knows how to counter a Kira Fuda clutch because she keeps getting put in them. So, and the faint, the bit where she almost faints...
That's my favourite spot of this
so
match.
Good!
Yeah, because I thought it was over because that's how Baszler has sort of dominated everything so far. And
they left it the perfect amount of time.
I don't think that could have been done better. So it was... Because I love the old rock spots when they have it in every match where the hand is dropped all the way from the top to the side. But on the third one, all just stops and it starts to power up. But it was a lot more subtle than that. It was just she was so close to the ropes and the referee drops it for a third time. But now it comes up and just grabs hold as like a last ditch desperation thing. Yep, it was very good. But, you know, like, it's weird to say... It's only a 4-star match for me. compared to everything else, which was, in my opinion, 4.5 to, you know, arguably 5, apart from the EC3 Ricochet, not Ricochet, EC3,
Velveteen,
Dream Match. Yeah, I thought this was the... It's weird, isn't it? I thought this was the most above average match of the card.
Yeah, that was
but
it.
I still liked it very, very, very much.
It was my least best.
Yeah.
Well, except the other one.
Except the other one.
My second least best.
And I'm really interested to see how this opens up the women's division now, especially with all the influx of talent from the Mae Young Classic 2.
Yep.
It kind of frees up Baszler for what... Because Ronda Rousey, Jessamyn Duke, and Marina Shafir, the four horsewomen of UFC or MMA, were on ringside.
Mm.
So how does that play into it?
I think Baszler's...
You reckon Baszler's going up?
See you, Baszler. She's going up.
Well, yeah, potentially. My pick is, we'll come on to him shortly.
Yeah.
Just in the manner in which he lost and his look. Do you want to have a guess? We'll see. So let's do the full review.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So the full show opened with Undisputed Era taking on Mustache Mountain. I feel like the tag title belts, yeah.
Little solo.
The tag belts have really become a great opener for most WWE pay-per-views now.
Mm.
Like New Day Usos, that all that stuff. And whoever's got the tag belts on NXT, you can always count on them to have a great opener.
Mm.
And not just a throwaway fun one, but a legit great match.
They've always got at least three... really high quality tag teams on the go in NXT, it seems.
So you and Luke both predicted Undisputed Era to win here.
Mm-hmm.
You were both correct. And this was a really nice play on what I think is a 5-star match from their NXT bout.
That was a wonderful match.
Yeah, when Seven was worked over the entire time.
It was such a different. It was also such a different match, that one.
Yeah.
That was, it was so, like, you're so used to seeing the sort of Tyler Bate matches where it's a lot of back and forth and he overcomes or succumbs. It doesn't really matter, but there's so much like showing off in those matches, and this was obviously quite a showy off match. That original one where it's just Trent gets worked over and Bate can't really be in the match,
yeah,
unreal.
It was
so different, like, as a it was very like a very refreshing title change, I think.
And of all the matches they've had, that one I think is the best by a long, long way. But all the six mans with Roderick Strong with Adam Cole and Pete Dunne in there as well.
Yes.
Like, they're all so good, and weirdly, this is probably in the bottom end of all their matches, but it's still absolutely fantastic.
I think the problem with this one, actually, the in-ring stuff, it was all great. It just felt like a bit of a foregone conclusion because you just know that Mustache Mountain are going to be the kings of the hill when it comes to NXT UK. So I don't think there was any way they were going to walk out of here with the titles again.
No. But it was a great way to reposition them as a top tag team act.
Mm.
Like, NXT have got, like you said, a few really strong tag teams that they can just bounce between. most notably War Raiders, who came out at the end.
I loved
your Bifrost line.
What an appearance! Yeah,
it was two men who somehow subtly walk in behind you.
It was like it's like in Jurassic Park, where like in the third one, which is the worst one, they're walking around, and then suddenly just like the Spinosaurus is stood behind them. When you just got
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I think it was called the Spinosaurus.
What?
The one with the big sail and the big jaws.
Okay.
And it's got a phone in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just appears behind them. When the rest of the time it's walking around, water is shaking, the ground is going boo, boo, and then suddenly it's like,
I'm a sneaky saw.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like, are you excited about that? A War Raiders versus Undisputed Era feud?
Yes. I think they're going to have some great matches. But I also feel like War Raiders are positioned in the Bludgeon Brothers problematic.
Mm.
I think monster booking nowadays is troublesome, and I just don't think it works very well anymore. Like, I don't know. It works really well on the run to getting the titles, but then every time anyone gets the titles now and they're a monster, what do you do with them? Like, this whole Kevin Owens thing with Braun Strowman has come out of this idea that, like, he's a monster and he has to be booked like a monster. But now we're having to come up with layers and layers and layers of story to come around the idea that, like, he can't just lose a match.
Mm.
God forbid he loses a match.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because for years and years, everyone was begging WWE to book other people, book people who aren't John Cena, a lot more strongly.
Yes, yeah.
And now, in the last couple of years, you know, Asuka's massive undefeated streak, Braun Strowman, the Bludgeon Brothers. Like, we actually had quite a few examples.
Yeah.
But WWE don't really know how to get past the initial stages of squash matches it intriguing afterwards.
I think the problem is it becomes so hard to deliver on it after that point, because all that can happen after you've conquered everyone, you've been the champion for however long, you've done this, you've done that, is you lose.
Hmm.
And it becomes a bit of a damp squib. Like, you know, like Charlotte eventually won against Asuka, and it felt like that felt, well, one too soon for the streak to end, really. But you just kind of go, oh, okay. And then it hasn't done anything for Charlotte either. Like,
no,
you know,
no, it's a complete waste of that.
It's just, it all, and I think that will be the problem with the War Raiders thing. If they just barrel on to victory, which they should do, because at the moment they look amazing, as proven by just hefting Kyle O'Reilly about 10 foot in the air.
Jesus.
See ya, bye then.
And then without skipping a beat, just straight through the ropes to do a dive.
Yeah.
There's so much fun to watch wrestle.
They've got such good, like, I love the kick and scream in the face. Yeah. That's one of my favourite moves, I think, in all of wrestling. It's I just don't like you.
And you got a similar look.
Mm?
The big bushy beard.
The great big bushy beard.
But back to the actual match. There were so many smart spots that called off the previous bits in their feud. Like the Trent Seven teasing, throwing in the towel for bait.
Who was getting worked over on the same leg as well.
Yeah, yeah. Bate's strength is incredible. Of course, he did the airplane and just normal spin.
Yeah,
the big swing.
The giant swing.
The big swing spin that he usually does. But then there was another one where he O'Reilly had him in a triangle while Seven was in the stronghold from Roddy. And Bate powered up O'Reilly and just threw him at Strong. It looked great.
A similar moment of strength from Seven in that. Mm. There was a bit where he ducked a kick from O'Reilly, who then kicked Strong in the corner, and then just went up and then just went, go on then, off you go. I thought Trent looked like it was interesting. Yeah. It was good seeing Trent get to be Strong as well in this one, because it was obviously like quite heartbreaking in that previous match, which obviously made the match, but the whole protege tutor dynamic between them two, you have to see the sort of tutor get beat down. But yeah, it's nice to see him get to show off what he can do as well, and it's interesting to see the dynamic flip where it's Bate in trouble and Seven's the one having to make the save, because obviously you normally book it so that Bate is the one jumping in on the hot tag and wrecking house.
Yeah, like talking about that previous match, that almost felt like the end of the second act. Like, that's the lowest point in the feud, not the lowest point in the feud, but like the point of no return. And then Mustache Mountain should come back and win.
Yes, yeah.
But they already won, and that was the match where they lost the titles. So rather than have this amazing third act, what you almost got was an epilogue with this, because a lot of the story had already been told. But that's not. I gave this 4.5 stars. Action-wise, I thought it was superb. The crowd were really good as well.
Yeah, it was a hell of a match.
But then we got Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream.
Both of you and Luke were wrong. You both went for EC3 in this game.
Yeah.
And it was a good match. Like, it was still very entertaining, and Dream is so charismatic. EC3's got a great look, and his facial expressions are awesome. But it just, felt like it was missing something. I don't know if it's because they're both kind of heel versus heel.
Yeah.
Even though Dream's over as a babyface, he is kind of a tweener character.
Yeah, but I think they've also been turning EC3. Like, he's had a subtle face turn as well. He's being egotistical, but he's not being as heelish as he was before.
Yeah.
He's actually sort of been booked more facey recently as well. So I just don't think there was any real drama here. Like, there was no real reason for them to have this match. And all the setup stuff was a bit hokey and a bit cheesy.
You weren't a fan.
The going to the Velveteen Dream experience at the pool and then dumping him in. It felt like a telenovela to me. It was very, very soapy. The match itself, like, I think starting off, there was a lot of sort of clumsy, like, you know, things just weren't as smooth as they should be. A lot of it looked a bit too set up. They did, like, the show of strength stuff I thought was quite cool. Like, the knuckle lock, and he kept lifting him up by one arm and putting him down and all that kind of stuff was quite fun. The bit with the turnbuckle where he's kicking him and Velveteen Dream's lifting himself off. I like the idea. It looked a little weird in practice. And then he lands and then he crotches himself. And then you get the shaking and the crotching. And I think there was a definite, like, turn where this match became quite serious. And that's when it got actually really quite good.
The DDT onto the
ramp was like, suddenly it just went up this gear. And you're like, oh, okay, no, I'm into this now. Because I think before it was a little bit too, like, I'm just trying to embarrass you. I don't know. It just didn't feel like they actually really wanted it.
Well, I love both guys. But I think Dream has all this charisma. And he's great at, like, doing spots. Big spots and kind of storytelling bits in wrestling matches with his character. But he's not so good at sometimes technically executing the moves. He looks a bit sloppy because, like, he's only really been wrestling for 2-3 years. He's still very, very...
22, is he?
Yeah. crazily young.
Yeah.
But then you look at Bate, who's actually...
21. Yeah.
And that just makes me sad.
I feel like he was born wrestling.
He just popped out the womb.
They didn't have, baby gates in his house. They just had ropes.
Yeah, running around, bouncing off. So, Dream's lacking the wrestling side of things.
Mm.
And, like, again, EC3, great look, great on promos. But he's just a wrestler in the ring. And compared to everyone else in that talent pool, that's actually below average compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
And Dream in the past has had these great matches against very, very good wrestlers, like Ono Black, the Ricochet match.
Yeah.
And I've always suspected that it's the experienced guys
calling it, yeah,
giving it, like, helping out a lot there. And this is EC3, who is experienced, but he's just, those other guys were on another level. So I felt that might be the issue here.
Mm.
But it's still, like, it was still a very good match. The finish was really fun, like you said, a Death Valley driver in the ring, then on the apron, and he hits the purple Rainmaker elbow off the top rope onto the ring apron, rolls him in, and that was the end. I thought that finish came quite surprise.
Yeah, I was shocked that Dream got the win there, especially seeing his tights said "Call me up, Vince" on his bum.
That is excellent,
which is wonderful work.
Yeah,
excellent tailoring.
Which is why I think he's not getting called up. And I think EC3 might be fast-tracked to the main roster.
I think EC3 would do better on the main roster.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's that's more his style. I think he's going to, like, hang in with people like Bobby Roode and that sort of thing is more his sort of speed.
Let's bring him up from Bobby Roode. We want him mid-card at least.
Yes, well, I'm not
Bobby
saying, not
is,
saying Bobby Roode right now, but I mean...
He dresses in the same dressing room as Kurt Hawkins at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
I'd pick EC3. That's my prediction now at the moment.
Any other predictions of people who will go up?
I'd love Matt Riddle to just skip NXT and run in as Paul Heyman's chosen tonight, but potentially, I don't know. How about you?
I think Baszler. Baszler, I think Baszler's a good shout for it
for the Rousey connection.
Yeah, I don't think. I think Cole will stay. Mm-hmm. I would like to see. I think it makes more sense to put the Undisputed Era up as one cohesive unit, unless you're going to do it a faction across all brands, which would be. I would love to see. That's such a cool idea. Anyone else? Black when he comes back,
mm-hmm.
I think might just go straight up.
Yeah,
I think he wasn't in this thing. Now that he wasn't on this show, I think he's kind of done with NXT. There's nothing really for him to do.
But I feel like they want to wrap up that storyline. As you know,
they are definitely teasing that. So maybe he'll have one final feud with, I don't know, Cassie.
Whoever did it. Who's your
reckoning?
Well, this is not my joke. This is someone on Reddit. I can't remember who. They said that maybe Matt Riddle ran him over when coming into NXT a bit high on the ganja, which I quite like as a storyline. Mm. Oh, sorry, bro. And that's it. And he just gets called up. No worries, man. But yeah, I think because there's nothing else, like you said, there's nothing else for Black to do. He's had that, quite frankly, disappointing title run. Yeah. He's been beaten now. So yeah, best thing to do is get him up.
Just send him up.
Whenever he's ready. Speaking of Matt Riddle, that's what happened next.
Yeah.
He debuted in the crowd.
He was wearing a suit.
Yeah, which was weird.
It was creepy.
He still had the hat on.
It was creepy.
Apparently, I only know this because Dave Meltzer mentioned it on Wrestling Observer Radio. He was wearing flip-flops.
Was it?
Yes!
Okay. There we are. Staying true.
Not shoes.
Staying grounded.
Then we had the Ricochet. Oh, I gave that 3.5 stars, if anyone cares.
Velveteen Dream versus EC3. Yeah.
Then we have Ricochet and Cole, then we have Baszler and Zayn, and then, oh, the main event of Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. You both had Ciampa winning.
Both correct.
Both right.
Yeah.
I thought this was extraordinary. There was a point in here where I thought, I like the other two matches more. But then, and I think it was the same bit there that everyone... Suddenly it leveled up when Ciampa just took... No, when Gargano took out a production hand.
Yeah, and then Ciampa.
And then Ciampa just snapped, ran at Gargano with the chair through the timekeeper's area and just did a chucked everything on top of him to stop him from standing
the
up.
The dam burst and suddenly the floodgates were open.
Yeah, that from that moment on, story, character, action, callbacks most importantly... This was a 5-star match for me. It's for me, it's better than their first one, but a little bit below their second one.
The second one's my favorite fight.
Yeah.
So yeah, in the beginning of this match, I was like, this feels very much like their street fight, and there was a lot of callbacks and stuff. But the two of them are ever inventive in ways to brutalize themselves and each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems there were so many bits in this. It's like what more could you possibly do with what you're given at the ringside, and well, they found it. That knee through the barricade, I think, is the most horrible thing I've ever seen in a wrestling match. It was so, it was
threw himself into him.
But it was, imagine the big moment in the Brock Goldberg match was the spear through the barricade, right? Like, and everyone was like, "What?" at that. This was that, but with a chair as well.
Yeah. I wish Ciampa just screamed "Avit" as he did it.
And then the tipping everything on him, I love that. It was good losing it. It was great losing it. There were so many other amazing.
Way
moments.
Too many to recap.
The triple
Project Ciampas.
Triple Project Ciampas, and then he sets up the chair to watch the 10 count. Johnny pops up at 9 and just lays him in with a super kick.
It was beautiful. So many great spots. I just like a small touch. It went 33 minutes, by the way, which isn't as long as their other ones, but I thought I liked that it was more condensed, although it was still very long. Gargano's outfit was red and blue in the Spider-Man vein of things, but also had the Venom design for his winky tongue-out face emoji symbol.
Yeah, yeah. And on the back as well.
Yeah, it was just such a subtle way of saying that I am this super baby face who is slowly being invaded by evil and Venom. Like, it's there right in front of everyone. And it doesn't make it feel fake. It just makes it seem he's going to the dark side. And that's the story they told through this match. And it was because
Johnny is pranging out.
I mean, that's I don't even know where to start with this match because I loved it so much. Should we skip to the end and then we can go back and hit any bits we've missed? Oh god, just there was a bit where Ciampa used the crutch to stand up to break the 10 count. Just the poetic symmetry there.
Well, there was a bit where he couldn't stand as well and he rolled off the apron to stand up as well, like,
which is great foreshadowing for the end spot.
And he'd rolled around for a while with that. He fell through the tables. They set up the table. He set up two tables in a stack, Johnny, but he set one up the other way around, so all the spokes and everything were sticking up, and it was just teased for so long. There were so many setups in this that they just left lying for ages, and then you were like, "Oh, I'd forgotten about that," and then you're like, "Oh no, I remember now."
And that table wasn't just the two tables; it was on top of the exposed concrete floor.
Oh, of course, it was.
And then right next to that was the exposed ring, the wood underneath the ring canvas.
Yeah.
And there was this great bit where there was Gargano on one side and Ciampa on the other, and they were both teasing one going the
Either
other way.
Way yeah.
And it was like proper rock and a hard place stuff. Like, whatever happens here is going to suck for someone. It was really great high-stakes stuff. But there was a bit, like 20 minutes in, where the crowd weren't as into it as I was. I was super, super into it. It was off the... when Johnny jumped up and did that super kick, I was like, that's an amazing spot.
It was.
But the crowd didn't seem that hot for it as they would usually. And then they did these strike exchanges, yay boo spots, and they still weren't going crazy, but everything from the knee and the outside into the timekeeper's area, I thought they came alive.
They just dumped him through a table with an air raid crash as well. That was amazing.
Yeah, that off one announcer's table into the other.
Yeah.
So many spots. And then the end comes when Ciampa is running away from Gargano up the ramp, but he's
hobbling on a crutch, isn't he?
Yeah, that was off the breaking of the 10 count. But from a spot earlier, Ciampa had his one wrist handcuffed, and I always get like, I think the eventual payoff to this is going to involve both men getting handcuffed together.
So did I. I was like that. Maybe that will be the next match.
And it'll just be like both of them slogging away at each other. I can't wait for that. But they go up to the top. And in this beautiful mirroring of what's happened in this 2-3 year feud, Gargano throws Ciampa into the LCD screens, just like how Ciampa turned on Gargano at the TakeOver a year and a bit ago, maybe. And then this is when Gargano goes too far. And he handcuffs Ciampa to a bit of the stage, so Ciampa can't get up now. And Ciampa's screaming, "I'm sorry, Johnny, I'm sorry." And I didn't believe Ciampa, did you?
No.
Because he's done this before.
He has done that before, yeah.
So I don't blame Johnny there.
And also because he gets up as well. There's a moment where he's getting a 10 count, and he stands up and falls back down again just to break the count. So you're not that sorry. You're not just giving him the victory here to... you know, stop this happening. You still want to win. You still want to beat him.
But when he was down, it seemed really violent.
Yeah,
it was. Just having someone handcuffed like that.
Because, and he was just pleading. He was just saying, "Please, like, I'm sorry. And Johnny just kept laying in super kicks. Super kick after super kick after super kick. And then he starts doing the old DIY, going to kick you in the head thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he stops. Because his was always the super kick and Ciampa's was always the knee. So Ciampa ran in from the front and did the knee, and Johnny always super kicked him in the back of the head, or the vice versa. And Johnny stops halfway, and then he exposes his knee, as Ciampa would do. And this is where it obviously all breaks down, and you get the finish. He just runs through Ciampa off the stage.
Yeah.
And, like, nails him, but then smashes his knee into the flight cases and all the paraphernalia at ringside, rolls down onto the floor, and the 10 count begins for both men as they're both down. However, Ciampa is on the edge, on the very lip of the stage, and at 9, just flops off, because Johnny's apparently dislocated his knee and can't stand on his own.
It was...
unreal.
Amazing. Just such a good character. Like, I was trying to get across to my lady partner, because I was yelping throughout this match. I mean, half an hour of yelp will annoy anyone at 8 a.m. And she was sleepy and like, what's going on? I was just like, honestly, you've got to, because I'd had a coffee by this point as well.
You must know.
Like, to tell this level of storytelling and character development, you know, when you watch a movie and the character ends up in a different place than they were at the start, and you're like, well, that was a great character arc for someone to go in. Imagine that, but just through physicality, Anna. Imagine that. They told that just through wrestling moves. They weren't able to really speak that much.
They told it through the
to
medium of arms and legs.
Oh, it was amazing, Anna. Just let me sleep, please. But it was a really good story. Like, I think this, what Gargano and Ciampa have done in their feud and every outing so far, is in the same ballpark as the Omega Okada stuff. Just in terms of, and there's an argument actually that character wise, there's more in the Ciampa Gargano bit. Just because you can see this man's slow descent into becoming the man he hates. It's dragging him down as well. Mm. And it was just beautifully told. Imagine how hard it is to tell such a large, complex story that is also simple at the same time. That's a lovely balance too. Through emotion. Like, you got all of that context in a wrestling move. Just one single wrestling move.
Yeah.
It's inspired. I think it's incredible. I have 5 stars from me.
They are amazing at laying in, like, just layering and layering and layering small callbacks that slightly twist and turn. Like, three matches, and actually there's been a lot of setup that is similar between all of the matches. However, every single time they do something different with that setup, and one of the, like, and it will be the reverse, or someone else is being the mirror of the other one, and there's just all of these layers to it where you're just like, okay, well, they clearly are like old tag team partners, best friends, all of that stuff, and you get the feeling that they do despise each other because they want to destroy each other, but only with, like, you know, it's more than just someone else does a rock bottom or someone else throws out a Stone Cold Stunner. This is like, I'm going to do your running knee thing because I'm going to kill you.
But in so doing,
and I want to kill you with that. Not just I'm not just doing that because it's opportunity and I'm showing off. I want you to die.
Yeah, by your own move.
Yeah,
the ultimate insult.
Oh, so
and
bad.
And that's the move that undoes Gargano. He goes too far. Like, he let his rage get the better.
He's a tragic figure now. Mm. I think he's the Othello of this.
Yeah, and what's really exciting is in every match, like, I'm sure there's a lot of things that they did in this match that they'll pay off in the next match.
Yes.
Like we were saying with the handcuffs, like, they haven't been fully used yet. Mm. The ringside area, you know, when they go through the barricade, and the poor production fellow who got kneed by Gargano, like, that will probably be riffed on again in the next match. It's fascinating to see it develop. Well, it makes me think, like, do they sit down like showrunners for a series and say, like, we're going to have 6 matches and this is what we're going to do in the foot. Like, how far ago did they plan all this out?
Yeah, I think ages ago. Mm. I think because the build to the heel turn was so good. Like, that was a heel turn that I didn't see coming, really. Like, I was, and then when you see it happen, you're like, oh, it makes perfect sense. Like, Gargano's the one who's eating every pin. Like, he's the one who's been pinned by the other people every single time. Ciampa would get annoyed, and they've had this whole rise and fall, and then you're like, oh, okay, I just didn't, like, it was sort of lying there unsaid, because they were the top babyface team, and you're just like, well, okay, this is amazing, and then they suddenly both end up at the top billing of the whole show now.
Three straight takeovers. And this is the first one with the title.
Yeah, and this is the first one with the title. And then you've got to think, like, you know, everyone's chanting Fight Forever.
Uh-huh.
I genuinely think these two could, and it wouldn't be boring. Yeah. I don't, like, you know, considering how many Brock and Roman Reigns matches have we had now?
Mm.
And is this the fourth one or the fifth one?
Feels like more, but probably fourth or fifth. Right,
it's the fourth or fifth one tonight. And, yeah, they've not done anything even coming close to this level of match storytelling, or, like, just even pure wrestling.
Sometimes wrestling characters find their Joker, and you get it, like, it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They are each other's Batman and Joker, who, you know, sometimes have to team up, and they're quite rare that the characters can they can come back to this 4 or 5 years down the line and it will still hold an emotional weight. Like, the Dudleys, Edge and Christian Hardys have that connection, and we've got, like, a proper Batman Joker here with Ciampa and Gargano. I loved it. I thought it was an excellent end to a brilliant show.
Yeah, it was truly a stunning match.
But that's all we've got time for today. Please click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk awesome stuff, and click this button right here to support WrestleTalk on Patreon so we can make weekly NXT reviews happen.
Yay.
What a time to do it off the momentum of TakeOver. And yeah, stick around tomorrow because we'll have a SummerSlam review in the same format. I've been Ollie Davis. This has been El Fakeador. And that was Rambling.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.